Call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:57 p.m. on Wednesday, April 28, 2021. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McCain, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Tom Raymond from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Drummond, my Vice Chair, Representative Snyder, and myself, Representative Clayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. And I would note, arriving at this instant, are Representative Eastman and Representative Vance. Our first order of business today is confirmation hearing. Is a confirmation hearing. The Speaker has referred the following governor's appointment to the Judiciary Committee, the Alaska Judicial Council. Members have received the application and resume for the appointee. The appointee is online and will testify, and we will now open public testimony. So, Ms. Babcock, if you want to go ahead and state your name for the record, and you can proceed with your testimony.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Christy Babcock. I'm an appointee to the Alaska Judicial Council. Thank you all for considering me today for legislative confirmation. I was born in Zambia, Africa, and my family returned to Alaska when I was 1 year old. I've lived in Alaska all my life, except for during college while I was in Oregon and for 3 years while I worked in Washington State. I grew up in Anchorage in the 70s and 80s and graduated from East High. I attended Willamette University, where I double majored in Spanish and International Studies. Upon graduation in December of 89, I obtained a job as a legislative aide and traveled to Juneau a week later. I've worked for the legislature and for two governors, Governor Hickel and Governor Murkowski, all in the boards and commissions area, including as director of boards and commissions for those governors. During my life in Alaska, I've lived in Anchorage, Wasilla, Juneau, Kenai, Nanilchik, and Soldotna. For the past 25-plus years, I've been associated with State Farm Insurance. Since 1999, I've lived on the Kenai Peninsula, where I am a State Farm Insurance agent. My licenses include property, casualty, life, and disability insurance, as well as a mortgage originator license and securities licenses, where I hold the Series 6, 63, and 65 securities licenses. In my community, I've been involved with several organizations, from the Boys and Girls Club to being the team mom for my children's soccer program. I have three stepchildren, three biological children, and two children adopted from China. My youngest child is a freshman in college, and I'm currently getting to know my 11 grandchildren, who are all ages 5 and under. During my 21 years on the peninsula, I've dealt with thousands of customers, dozens of business owners, hundreds of friends, children's friends' parents, teachers, employees, and associates. And I'm proud of the reputation I have as an honest neighbor and an honest business person. I desire to be a member of the Alaska Judicial Council because it represents such an important part of Alaska's system for having a fair and orderly society. We ask our judges to interpret and apply the law to ensure equal justice under the law. We ask them to be impartial and ensure that trials are conducted fairly and that the legal rights of all parties be protected. Because I have such respect for this role, I'm willing to commit the time and attention required of service on the council. I've studied the transcripts and records of our state's constitutional convention. The founders intended for public members to serve on the council to assist in bringing forward qualified names. Articles 4 and 15 of the Constitution are clear about who should serve and what their duties should be. I believe I have shown I have the temperament, knowledge, and communication skills to work as part of this group in interviewing, studying, and discerning the candidates who have the characteristics to serve as judges. The council also has roles in recommending the retention of judges and other improvements in the administration of justice. During my career, whether working in the public sector, in business, or in volunteer work, being able to evaluate information, make determinations fairly, and work with others is something I do regularly and I'm very comfortable with. I'm committed to serving in this position in a way that honors the constitutional role of this council and the important consequences of the recommendations. I would ask for your favorable consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I would note that Representative Kirk had joined us at about, looks like about right around 2 o'clock. And if members have questions for Ms. Babcock. No, Representative Kirk, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mrs. Babcock. I appreciate your desire to serve our state in this very important capacity. I guess a question I would have would be, I guess, what are the kind of values or kind of things you would look for in a judge as being on the on the Judicial Council? You would be asking those questions and voting on who to put forward to the governor. What are you looking for in a judge?
Sure, through the chair, Representative Kirka, the council bylaws really lay out what the characteristics of judges are to be, and so those are the things that I would look to. If they're pretty specific, professional competence, written and oral communication skills, diligence and administrative skills, integrity, fairness, temperament, and there are several others. So those are the kind of things that I would be looking for to see who the council might nominate forward.
Any follow-up, Representative Kirka?
Not at this time.
I don't see any other questions, Ms. Babcock. I have a couple of questions. You're currently the legislature is in the process of your confirmation, you're currently serving on the council?
The term began March 1st, correct.
And have you participated in any meetings of the council or any reviews of any candidates during that time?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay. And then a second question I have is, you're probably familiar, there have been a number of questions raised about the governor's appointment of a third person from the South Central Alaska region, which would be the first time in Alaska history that we've had three people from the same region of the state serving as public members on the Judicial Council. What is your perspective on that decision by the governor? And I mean, you're obviously the person he's nominated, but what's your perspective on that naming three people from South Central Alaska to serve on the council?
Thank you so much for that question, Representative Klayman. You know, I've watched the Alaska Judicial Council process since 1990, including serving as director of boards and commissions under two governors, where I was responsible for reviewing dozens of applicants to the council. And, you know, never in the 32 years since I personally been watching has there been the level of attention given geographic representation that there is being discussed now. I do find that somewhat curious. As you probably know, the council started in 1959 and has only three public seats out of the seven total. And there actually have been numerous times in history where certain regions don't have a representative. And I've never heard in the 32 years I've personally witnessed or heard from the 29 years before that there's been a problem identified with it. And I actually have four examples. During the council's 62-year history, there have been only 18 of the 62 years that someone from rural Western Alaska or rural Northwest Alaska served. There have been 14 years totaled, including a 10-year period and a 4-year period in which there were no public members from the greater Anchorage municipality. And there was a total of 17 years in which there was no member from Fairbanks or the interior, including a 7-year stretch and a 10-year stretch. And also, there's never been a woman appointed from the Kenai Peninsula. I recall no outrage at those different times and no concern raised at those times. So I'm not sure where the concern over that lack of geographical representation that there's been in the past was, because there wasn't any. I'm not sure if the concern being voiced now by a small but vocal number of attorneys and retired judges is really about geography. I'm not sure why any of the lawyers or former judges really feel that they should weigh in on this public seat when the Private Bar Association already controls three seats directly, and those aren't subject to legislative confirmation. They're completely under the bar's control. You know, maybe there is some merit to encouraging the Bar Association to have at least one of their three members come from rural Alaska, because since statehood, the last 62 years, they have never done so. And frankly, as a private citizen willing to volunteer and ask to do this job, I find these new arguments from a small but loud group of lawyers, if I could refer to Canon 5A of the Alaska Code of Judicial Conduct, I find them somewhat undignified and inappropriate. Doesn't the bar already appoint three attorneys to the council? Do they really need to choose the public members too? I would ask that my qualifications be judged on their merits. I have lived in all parts of Alaska, from towns the size of 800 to a town the size of Anchorage. I've lived all over. I love this small coastal community that I call home. That's a lot in the Kenai area. My children and immediate family members have gone to school at University of Alaska Southeast, University of Alaska Fairbanks and Anchorage. And Alaska has my heart. All of Alaska has my heart. And so I just hope that those of you who are representing our vast and wonderfully diverse state would look at that history of our council and see the great job they've done over all these years, where there's, you know, just been three members at a time from the public, not always somebody from every town. But I would just ask that my qualifications be judged and judged alone.
Can you remind me again, when was the period of time when you were working for the governor's office, I think more than once, when you were involved with boards and commission appointments? What were those periods?
Sure. I was. I worked from, it would have been late May or early June of 91 through the end of Governor Hickel's term in 94. And then, so that was during Hickel. And then there was 8 years of Governor Knowles. And then at the end of that 8 years, when Governor Murkowski was elected, I was called during the transition time, and they said, hey, we understand you have a lot of history with boards and commissions. Would you consider coming to work for us? And I said, no, I have a job, I have a business, I have a family, I love my area where I'm living in Kenai, but I could help out for a few years. So I got clearance from my, you know, where I have my contract with State Farm, I got clearance to go down and just help for a few months. I think I was there about 3 months. And that would have been starting in December of 02 till the March of 03.
So the period in the Knowles administration, just to make it clear, you weren't working in boards and commissioners for the Knowles administration?
No, sir.
And during that time, was there ever a point in time when you were involved with boards and commissions specific to the Judicial Council in which there were three folks from the same region of the state, as is proposed now?
I don't know. I don't know that. You've already said there isn't, so I don't doubt you at your word.
Okay. I was just curious about if you had a specific memory of the Judicial Council nominations that took place during the time you were working in boards and commissions.
I don't remember the specific people. I do have the ledger here, though, that talks about the history, and I've kind of just gone through and looked at some of those times when there was, you know, no one from Fairbanks or the interior for 17 years. So nowhere from Fairbanks and nowhere from Western and Northwest Alaska for 17 years, where there was nobody from Anchorage for 14 years. So I have not, you've already said there was never a time when there was, all three from South Central. So I don't doubt you at that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Those are the questions I have. Are there any other questions from members of the committee? Representative Kirky, look like in the verge, because we have some people that want to provide public testimony. But go ahead with your question before we go to the public.
All right, I'll take one more stab at it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Mrs. Babcock. On this question of, I guess, geographic allocation, I think I read the term, I was about to look it up again, that the governor shall endeavor. There's not a requirement. I think I just, on the way down to the meeting, staff was telling me that we have members on the Judicial Council that are from Fairbanks and Sitka. Some of them might be the attorney members. So it seemed like we do have, I mean, there might not be currently a member from maybe the beyond Fairbanks in terms of going north, but it seemed like we do have somewhat of a diverse cross-section of the state. Would you like to speak to that?
Thank you for the question. Through Mr. Chair, Representative Kirk, I'm just taking a peek at the council, and I believe, I don't have it, since I haven't served with them yet, I don't have them memorized, but I believe there are right now attorney members from Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Southeast, and then there are public members from Wasilla, Anchorage, and Kenai. So we've got, you know, there's Southeast, South Central, and Interior. Right now there is lacking a representative from that second judicial district. I do know that I think in about 10 months, from March 1st of next year, about 10 months from now, there is another public seat coming up. So if there were a stint here where there are a couple meetings, I know my first meeting would be the end of May. I think I would have one other or maybe two through the rest of this year before the next appointment. But there is another public seat coming up where the governor will have opportunities to appoint. As I looked through the history, the 62-year history, there was the bar has never appointed anybody besides from Fairbanks and Anchorage. Now, I'm not saying North Pole or Toke or no, truly Fairbanks. The bar is appointed from Fairbanks. The bar is appointed from Anchorage, not Wasilla, not Eagle River, not Chigiak, but Anchorage, and then appointed from Southeast. So I also find it a little curious. They're very vocal concern about no one from rural, and it really might be nice if they might consider that also if it's that important. And I think it is a great thing to have representation from all over.
I don't see any other questions, so we're going to turn to public testimony. And we have several people that have called. I see no one in the room, but we have several people online. And the first person online is Donna Goldsmith. Ms. Goldsmith, if you could identify yourself for the record, if you're affiliated with any organization, please identify that organization. And we generally limit public comment to 2 minutes. Unless there are questions, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here today on behalf of Alaskans for Fair and Independent Courts, and we oppose appointment of Christy Babcock to fill the Judicial Council vacancy that resulted from Loretta Bullard's term, which ended in March. Ms. Bullard, as you may recall, lives in Nome. Should Ms. Babcock be confirmed, all lay members of the council would be from a single judicial district, as we just heard. They would all be from urban areas on the road system in South Central Alaska in particular. So they would all be from a part of the third judicial district. There are three other judicial districts, however, that I think deserve representation. The first is from Yakutat South, including all of Southeast Alaska. The second is from Northern and Western Alaska, from Unalakleet North and West, including Nome, Kotzebue, and Utiyahvik. And the fourth would be from Toke West to Nunavik Island, including Fairbanks and Bethel, and north to Fort Yukon. So for this reason, we urge the legislature to reject Ms. Babcock's appointment. The Constitution is pretty clear. It establishes the appointment process, and it states, appointments shall be made with due consideration to area representation and without regard to political affiliation. During the Constitutional Convention, the chair of the Judiciary Committee stated unequivocally that it's the desire of the committee to have a general geographic representation on the Judicial Council, and that includes all areas, end quote. I think our founders' intent is clear and the underlying policy is sound. It makes sense that non-attorney members from each major geographic area could help ensure that the council has a pulse on local sentiment about judges in that region. A council member from a region will have a personal familiarity with candidates, judicial candidates, and they'll know other community members who do. the council member can best ascertain the public's attitudes toward the judiciary in a particular region. Alaska voters from remote communities deserve a representation on the council.
Ms. Goldsmith, you're at about the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
I think the seat should not be about the personal. It's not about Ms. Babcock. It's not about political affiliation. Legislators, you have the opportunity to rectify the governor's proposed imbalance, and you have the authority and the responsibility to decline to confirm Ms. Babcock. The council's lay representative should include at least one representative from...
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Elaine Andrews. And Ms. Andrews, if you want to identify yourself and any organization you're affiliated with.
Is there going to be opportunity for questions?
This is...
Actually, hold on. Representative Eastman has a really good point. We do allow questions of the folks testifying, so if we could get Ms. Goldsmith back on the line, it sounds like Representative Eastman has a question for Ms. Goldsmith. And I apologize for not checking on that earlier. Ms. Goldsmith, are you back with us?
I am back with you.
All right, so Representative Eastman has a question. Representative Eastman, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for drawing our attention to the geographic diversity issue. And I'm curious, since it is the Bar Association that is putting forth the other members of this organization, can you tell us what is the geographic representation currently from the Second Judicial District on the Board of Governors for the Bar Association?
I do not know that. I do not work for the Bar Association. I'm a retired attorney, and I am not affiliated with them directly. I'm not part of their process, so I apologize that I can't answer that for you.
Representative Eastman, I can actually answer that question.
Please.
There are part of the bar rules states where they pick the folks from, and so they have combined the second and fourth judicial district for one seat, the third judicial district for a second seat, and the first judicial district for the third seat. And so from the combined second and fourth judicial district, they have the current person serving on the Board of Governors is Geraldine Simon, who is from Fairbanks. And the roster shows, which I think you can get from the Judicial Council. We have a copy from my office, and we can give it to you. But it does show that for that seat from the second and fourth judicial district, those elected by the Bar Association, and it's a poll that they do, so it literally is an election. And that person from the second and fourth historically has always been from Fairbanks. So the observation that they've never elected somebody from the second judicial district, which is broadly western Alaska, including northern Alaska, Inuktitut, they have never elected a person from that to that seat.
Okay, thank you.
And I think that probably answers the question.
Yeah, it does. Appreciate that.
Representative Kirk, did you have a question for Ms. Goldsmith? Any other questions for Ms. Goldsmith? Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Goldsmith. And now we'll turn to Elaine Andrews. Ms. Andrews, I appreciate your patience when I was not being respectful of the committee members who had questions, and if you want to state your name.
Yes, my name is Elaine Andrews, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to testify to the chair and members of the committee. I have read over the written submissions that have been given to the committee, so I don't want to go over that material. I want to just focus for my 2 minutes on the other piece that the Judicial Council does, which is the constitutionally mandated obligation to conduct studies for the improvements of the administration of justice and to make reports to the Supreme Court and the legislature at least every 2 years in regard to that. I, too, am concerned that really, especially in these most recent days where we've had some pretty disturbing reports through ProPublica, through the Anchorage Daily News, in the whole Lawless series that's been published about the lack of, well, the concern about the administration of justice in rural Alaska, that we're now concentrating lay seats on the Judicial Council on the road system and really kind of a, I'm going to say a 250-mile radius of each other. And I think it's critical, having now been really put on the front pages of the national page, that we have representation from at least a rural-focused area. I I'm going to answer Ms. Babcock's concern about exactly kind of I'm an appointee of Governor Hickel in 1991 when Ms. Babcock was on the boards and commissions, and I looked back just out of curiosity this morning at my appointment. It appears to me that there was a representative from Sitka, Anchorage, and Barrow at the time that I went through the Judicial Council for my appointment. So I do think that Ms. Babcock, as a boards and commissions person, was rightly following the Constitution, which requires due consideration to geographical diversity. I am unaware of any outreach that the commission, boards and commissions, made to anybody regarding this appointment. And to be honest, when we contacted the boards and commissions, kind of asked about this, they seemed to be unaware that there was a constitutional concern at all. So
Ms. Andrews, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some questions. Well, if you could conclude your remarks, then we'll see if we have questions.
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. Representative Eastman has a question. I would just note for the record that now retired Judge Andrews is somebody I appeared before many, many times. It's rare that I get to cut the judge off. Representative Eastman.
And now I'm fully retired. Fully retired.
Very good. Thank you. And through the chair, ma'am, I'm wondering, do you recall when the last time was that the judicial districts were, the boundaries were changed or amended?
No. I mean, this is, it's been longstanding for as long as, I mean, I'm unaware of when and if they changed since the time the Constitution was drafted.
Okay. Follow up?
Representative Eastman.
I'm listening to the concern that, you know, there might be, the Second Judicial District, for example, might not be represented on the council for a period of time. And I'm just curious, to what extent do you think that, you know, changing population patterns and whatnot should, you know, be taken into consideration as far as that constitutional, encouragement for area representation, since I guess it's been, what, a little more than 50 years since those boundaries would have been drawn?
Right. I think in response to your question, there's only three public seats, but there are four judicial districts, so there's never been a requirement that there be a lay representative from each judicial district. And it's, when they talk about geographical diversity, we're talking about sort of the northern tier of the state, which really does include the fourth and the second. I have seen the memo that's gone out to the legislature regarding the appointment process. This is not about having someone from the second district replace the outgoing members. The second district itself doesn't need individual representation. There has to be some understanding, and I think everyone understands this. We have a southeastern part of the state, we have a south central part of the state, and we have a northern tier. And as Chairman Clayman indicated, that's how the bar has looked at it as well. So it's not about population representation as much as it's about geographical, an understanding of the great diversity that our geography creates in the state.
Follow-up?
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. And last question for now. I'm just curious. I had heard earlier that this appointee was the first woman from the Kenai to be appointed. I know we don't talk about gender or sex diversity in the Constitution, but do you think that should be a factor as well in this appointment process?
I am. You will not get me to suggest that that is not important at all. And so I think that, yes, the governor should be looking for gender diversity, ethnic diversity, geographical diversity, and to be honest, I think should be soliciting people who are interested, which I'm unaware happens.
Thank you very much.
I don't see any other questions for retired Judge Andrews. So next in the queue is for public testimony is Misha Steinkruger, calling from Fairbanks. Ms. Steinkruger, if you want to identify yourself for the record, and you can proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Chairman Klayman, can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear. Thank you.
All right. And members of the committee, I come to you from sunny Fairbanks today. My name is Nisha Steinkruger. I'm a 47-year Alaskan, and I come to you in my personal capacity. I am a retired Superior Court judge from the 4th Judicial District, primarily in Fairbanks and Bethel, where I served on the bench for 19 years. I then served 12 years, and I assisted the courts in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Judicial District, and I am now fully retired. In all of those capacities, and when I was a lawyer, I actively encouraged good lawyers and good lay people from the 2nd and 4th Judicial District to seek the governor's appointment to serve on the Judicial Council. It's a hard sell. It's not like the Fisheries Board where people are waving their arms asking to be appointed. Some recruitment has been required over the years. It's a 6-year term. There's significant travel away from family and your business. There's no pay. There's a great box of notebooks that you have to review for each meeting. And there's plenty of Monday morning quarterbacking about your decisions in Alaska. The Bar Association institutionalized geographic diversity by creating a bylaw that the lawyers would, from the 4 districts, would serve 3 positions by having someone from the 1st, the 3rd, and the 2nd and 4th combined. The appointment of Ms. Babcock is not illegal. I don't think anybody has ever said that it was, but it's about good government. And there are very qualified lay folks in Southeast, the Interior, and the North. I urge the committee to be courageous and to urge, but to reject the appointment and urge the governor to make an appointment that reflects the Alaska geographic diversity and experience. Obviously, the framers saw that this, in their wisdom, makes for good decisions and representation. These judicial districts are not by population, but they're what was created way back in territorial days.
Ms. Steinkruger, you're a little past the 2-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
Thank you. So I urge us to use a good system for selecting and retaining judges and the evaluating of how the justice system is working in Alaska by not having 4 out of 7 from the 3rd Judicial District. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Eastman has a question.
Thank you, and through the chair. Thank you, ma'am, for bringing your testimony before us today. Separate from the topics of geography, I was just curious if you have any perspective you can offer on the qualifications of the appointee before us.
I don't. Ms. Babcock and I have never met. I don't know her. I assume that she's qualified when I listen to her background to be on the commission. My concerns are about maintaining representation from the 1st, 2nd, and 4th Judicial Districts among the appointments.
Thank you very much.
I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much for your testimony. Next in the queue, we have Melanie Bonke calling in. Ms. Bonke, if you want to state your name for the record, any affiliation, you can proceed.
Yes, thank you. This is Melanie Bonke, and I'm representing Kowarik in the Bering Strait region of Alaska. I'm also a former commissioner on the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct, and for full disclosure, I'm a current member of the Alaska Redistricting Board, but my testimony today is limited to representing Kowarik. With all due respect for Ms. Babcock, I'm urging this committee to reject her appointment because we do we should also have representation. And if you look at the Alaska Constitution, Article 4, Section 8, that defines the makeup of the Judicial Council, it says appointments shall be made with due consideration to area representation and without regard to political affiliation. And I've heard comments during this testimony about whether it would be illegal to appoint somebody not from the Second Judicial District. But I urge you to look at the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law, because if this body starts disregarding the Constitution's spirit, then we're going to be going down a very slippery slope. I request that you give due consideration to area representation without regard to political affiliation, just as it says in the Constitution. Representation does matter. There were some comments about, you know, the Second Judicial District hasn't always been represented, but we all know that there have been many scathing reports about our justice system. I'm not going to, bring back all kinds of historical documents, but if we want to do better and moving forward, diversity matters, representation matters, and the framers of the Constitution, I think it was back in, somebody asked, when was the last time these districts have been reexamined? I think these districts, the geographic boundaries, were established in 1959. And the framers back then of our Constitution found it wise enough to make sure that when you're considering nominees, you consider geographic diversity.
Ms. Banky, you're a little past the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
All right. Well, thank you again for the testimony opportunity. Representation does matter, and the northwest part of Alaska is a very large geographic part of Alaska, and we should be represented. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Banky? I don't see any. Thank you very much for joining us today. Next person I have in the queue is Nicole Borromeo. Ms. Borromeo, if you want to identify yourself and provide any affiliation you may have.
Thank you, and good afternoon. For the record, my name is Nicole Borromeo, and I have the privilege of serving as the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Alaska Federation of Natives. AFN objects to Ms. Babcock's appointment because it frustrates the Alaska Constitution's mandate for area representation outlined in Article 4, Section 8. As you know, that provision mandates that appointments to the council, whether by the Bar Association or the governor, shall be made with due consideration to area representation. Area representation is achieved in this matter when all four judicial districts are represented by the council. On the council, excuse me. Regrettably, this will be impossible if the legislature confirms Ms. Babcock's appointment. Specifically, all three non-attorney council members will be from the same district, which will consolidate undue power and influence in the urban non-native third judicial district to the detriment of the more rural native second judicial district. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, council membership is balanced for a reason and by design. It reduces the likelihood of politicizing the bench and increases quality of judicial applicants. If you confirm Ms. Babcock, instead of an equally qualified non-attorney from the second judicial district, you will undermine the constitutional requirement for area representation and call into question the functionality of our court system, which has widespread fairness and impartiality reputation. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to take questions.
Questions for Ms. Borromeo. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Ms. Borromeo. And through the chair, I appreciate your testimony before us. And I'm curious, do you or does the Federation have a position on the size of the council? I know it's always been seven members, but given changing migration patterns and population diversity, should we be looking at possibly increasing the seven to some higher number to better address your concerns?
Thank you for that follow-up question, Representative Eastman, and through the chair. We actually do not favor any changes to the council. Alaska has adopted the Missouri plan in true form. We believe that it is the best plan. It has served the state well. It has served the state of Missouri well. and we see no reason to change our current judicial council. What we would like to see, rather, is that there be full area representation from all of our judicial districts. And unfortunately, even though we do not have any position on Ms. Babcock's personal or professional background or expertise, we just object to the fact that there will be no second judicial district representation on this. And because the terms are staggered, like Ms. Babcock mentioned, and there will be another opportunity coming forward, it's very possible that the governor could withdraw her name now, appoint somebody for the second district, and then 10 months later, put Ms. Babcock back up again. In that case, we would not be voicing the same objections. And thank you.
Thank you.
I would just note for the record, with respect to the scheduling of different appointments, I think that Ms. Babcock was wrong that the seat held by Lynn Gallant is scheduled to be changed in 2023. So there's no appointment that's scheduled for 2022. Dave Parker's nomination would or if confirmed, his appointment would expire in 2026. And Ms. Babcock's would expire in 2027. Any other questions for Ms. Borromeo? Hearing and seeing none, thank you very much for joining us today. I don't have anyone else in the queue for testimony. I see no one else in the room, so I'm going to close public testimony in the Judicial Council nomination. There was one question raised, Representative Eastman, about judicial districts. I did make an inquiry of the court system to find out about had they made any adjustments to the judicial districts, and the simple answer was very little, but there have been occasions, I think, in reflecting some voting precincts and whatnot, they may have made sort of minor adjustments, and they tried to describe, and it was kind of not a lot of change, but in large measure, the second district has been unchanged since statehood. The fourth district has largely been unchanged, the third district as well as the first district. If you dig into the weeds, you'll find some minor adjustments, but in large measures, they still would look largely the same.
Thank you.
Representative Kirker.
Thank you for that information, Mr. Chairman. And I guess a follow-up question, I know this is kind of a rabbit trail from the appointment, but on this topic of judicial districts, what would be the process? Is that something that is determined by the Supreme Court? Is that something determined by the legislature in terms of the number and the geographic region that each judicial district is?
You mean the drawing of judicial
districts? Yes.
I actually don't know.
Okay, so it's research. Okay.
I looked into it, and I can't remember. This is what I distinctly remember, because my staff was saying, what are you looking for? There was a time in which in the court rules book, you could open the court rules book, and there was a map of the judicial districts, and I spent about 20 minutes one day looking through rule books and saying, I know it's here. Well, it's not there anymore. But that used to be a map that you could find in the rule book so you could actually understand where the districts were. And I think I looked a little bit at did the court make the decision or was there a recommendation that would show up in the legislature and we had to approve it? And I don't think I ever got a conclusive answer.
It would just seem to me that we're a very large, very diverse state, and I kind of wonder if 4 judicial districts is insufficient.
Those are interesting questions. All right, any further comments from the committee? All right, we better get to the next place. That brings us to final comments. Each member, if they would like to make final comments about Ms. Babcock's nomination as well as the other matters we've been discussing, this is your opportunity, and we start today with Representative Eastman.
Thank you. And also, again, thank you to all those who've weighed in on this nominee, and I'm very grateful for the input. It's interesting how some of these topics don't really pop up very often. And I, too, am curious, you know, about the reason that this is an issue that's important now, when there have been other times in the past, I guess someone would have had equal reason to raise this an issue, but other items have been deemed more important, have gotten more airtime. So a little quizzical about that, and very grateful for all the various comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Kirka.
I, too, appreciate the comments. I'll look into it further, but based on my understanding of the current representation on the board and from not just the non-attorneys but also the attorney members, I'm not super concerned at this point with the overall length and breadth of the judicial council that the appointment of Mrs. Babcock would throw the balance amiss, so to speak.
Thank you, Representative Snyder.
Thank you. This is, as was noted today, this is not the only board or council that urges the consideration of geographical representation and the consideration of members. And I, as particularly as a freshman, I don't have historical context. I've not voted on appointees before, so I come into this fresh with placing great value on geographical representation. As we hear in other committees on different topics of concern to our state, we see very big differences between some rural needs and urban needs, and I do think representation matters, and to the extent that it's possible, I think that's what we should strive for. I am never particularly swayed or moved by arguments of, well, this is how we've always done it in the past, and it's never been brought up. That doesn't carry any water for me. It's never a bad time to do better. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking back at one of our, one of the public members who testified regarding the disturbing amount of crime in rural Alaska that seems to be going unabated, and I think that geographic representation is absolutely critical in a state this large and this diverse, and it is no reflection on the qualifications of the nominee, but the geographic balance is very important to me, and although we don't say how we're going to vote on a nominee in this committee, I'm going to look for geographic diversity, and I'm not seeing it here. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to speak to the to the merits of the nominee herself, and thank Ms. Babcock for her previous work in state government and also the willingness to serve in this capacity. I believe that she has I know that she has a stellar reputation on the Kenai Peninsula with a broad perspective and is always open and willing to bring so many to the table, and we can see that in her family life, we can see that in her social life, in her volunteering, and so I feel that she will not be limiting in her capacity to serve with a greater Alaskan perspective, and want to thank her for the willingness to step up in this role.
Thank you. And I would just note a couple of different things. One of the topics that has come up in some discussion about the Bar Association's appointment, and I actually think that it's a fair critique of the Bar Association because they elect one of their folks from the second and fourth judicial district, and recognizing the relatively small number of attorneys in the second judicial district, I think it's less than 50, and significantly more in the fourth judicial district because of Fairbanks, that it's probably no surprise that they've consistently elected people from Fairbanks to that seat and never appointed any or elected anybody from the second judicial district, whereas in Southeast Alaska they've had elected folks from Sitka, Juneau, and Ketchikan to the seat, and in the third judicial district it's consistently been in Anchorage, which reflects again the population density in Anchorage compared to other parts of the third judicial district. So I think some of that criticism towards the Bar Association is there is something to ponder in that for the Bar Association. I'd also note though that the governor, in terms of filling in different seats, has a long history over time of often providing that geographic diversity that he or she has the authority to do. So we see non-attorney members from Fairbanks, Kotzebue, Homer, Sitka, Ketchikan, Wasilla, Nome, Soldotna, Seward, Barrow, now Uktiavik, Valdez, Kenai, and Chugiak. So there has been a, and Wasilla, there's been a, an ability of the governor to provide some significant geographic diversity that the Bar Association is not necessarily as adept at doing. And so when I look at the population on the Judicial Council today, if Ms. Babcock is appointed to this seat or is confirmed for this seat, we would actually then have not four folks from the Third Judicial District, but actually five, because the Chief Justice, who serves in an ex officio capacity and only votes when the six other members don't reach a decision, he too lives in Anchorage. So we really are giving a huge proportion into the Third Judicial District if we confirm Ms. Babcock. So I have a lot of questions about the merits of doing that. Having traveled in rural Alaska and visited with folks and represented people in rural Alaska, as much as I learn when I travel to those regions, I am very cognizant that I don't really understand what it's like to live in those kinds of, in those areas. And especially when I hear victims of sexual abuse and sexual assault in those rural areas, I don't think I really could ever really understand the reality of living in those communities. And so coming from the rail belt, I'm not sure that perspective would ever come to the Judicial Council unless we have people appointed that have that real life experience in those places. So I have a lot of concerns, not about Ms. Babcock's qualifications, but I have real concerns about our obligation to have a well-rounded Judicial Council that will bring that statewide perspective. So I will be pondering carefully Ms. Babcock's nomination as we move forward to the joint session. And I do note that just, although there has been a lot of variety in the public members, this will be if she is confirmed, the first time in Alaska history that all three public members come from the Third Judicial District or any other judicial district. In the past, there have sometimes been two members from a single judicial district, but never three, and I see that as a significant change. So that gets us through our comments. Representative Snyder.
Yes, the Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Christy Babcock to the Alaska Judicial Council. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Ms. Babcock's name will be forwarded to the joint session. Please be sure to stay behind to sign the confirmation committee report after we adjourn. We will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Friday, April 30th at 1 p.m. As mentioned on Monday, if anyone is considering offering an amendment to House Joint Resolution 1, please let our office know and submit that amendment electronically by 5 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, April 29th. It is my intention to take up amendments to House Joint Resolution 1 on Friday and then pass the joint resolution out of committee following final discussion. And with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is now 2:50 p.m.